open your eyes first and then turn them to Jesus. There's great things that we're going to expound on today about turning your eyes, looking and seeing the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we set our eyes and our hearts on you this morning. Father, I know that you have things you want to say to us this day, so we yield ourselves and we draw on your anointing that is already here, the Holy Spirit, the teacher within us, to speak, to prompt, to lead us and to teach us this morning, to show us truth, to reveal truth in our lives. Father, we submit to you to be examined by your Holy Spirit, to hear what you would say, to show what you would reveal. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a good day. Today is a good day. How y'all doing? Everybody doing all right? We had a fantastic time yesterday. If you were here yesterday and working, would you stand up, please? Everybody that was working here yesterday. I didn't actually get a count, but we had a lot of people here. I think a lot of the people that were here just went in that room over there and that room back there. Thank you very much. Give these folks a hand. We were here yesterday. We had folks that got here at about 8:15, and we were here till I think we left at 12:30, and people were still here working. We got 10 lessons recorded for Kingdom Life Training and Transformation Center. And now the fun starts for the rest of the crew to upload those, to edit them, to put them in the format, add the scriptures and the points, and put everything together with it. And then we'll start seeing them online on KLTTC. And I'm excited about that. That is something that God has directed this body to do. And we saw, I think there were probably 30 people here yesterday working on this project. I expect that number to grow. We can use more of you. We're just getting started. It's not over. That was a small beginning, and I encourage you to hear what the Lord would have you to do regarding that in terms of your time of giving. There are many things. And one of those things that I want to talk to you about, there's a sign-up sheet. There are actually two sign-up sheets on the table in the back there just as you leave the sanctuary to your left. We have some things that God is raising up in the body. One of those is KLTTC that we just spoke about. If you're not sure what that is, I think everybody in here should know, but it's going to be it's already up. It's our online Bible school. It's for growing in Christ, for discipleship, for personal growth, and for training. And we've just begun to put it up on the website. It is free. Anyone can go on and register as a student and join and take any of the classes that you want. There are a few up there now. But like I said, we got 10 done yesterday. And we will be continuing throughout, I don't know, maybe forever, putting those lessons up and getting the training for discipleship, learning and growing in Christ that this body has been blessed richly with. Richly. Some of you probably don't realize how much you know. You don't realize how much the teaching of Pastor Jim has seasoned your life and enriched you, and you know so much about the Word of God. And KLTTC is not me and Pastor Richard, and as fabulous as they are, it's not Brother John, Brother Damon, Brother Brian, Brother Ken. Are you watching, Brother Ken? Hey, we love you. But it's not about those folks. It's about all of you, because what I want the world to see when they tune in to KLTTC is a body of believers who have been well taught and blessed and excited to share what they know. Amen. Because it's you that make that rich, that make it seasoned. You know, people have an opinion of, well, pastors, stand, that's all they do all day is study the Word. They ought to know something. But when they see people in the body, yeah, I have a job, I have a full-time job, I have kids that I'm taking care of, I do all this kind of stuff, but I've learned the Word of God, and I'm willing to share how it works in my life with somebody else. That's exciting. So what we have in the back for the sign-up sheets is people who would like to be on the prayer covering team for KLTTC. While we were teaching and setting up cameras and video cameras and sound and all lights and all kind of stuff, we had a group of people here who were praying for us the entire time. And that was such a blessing. But there's prayer that needs to go on as well during the week, you know, during the day when you have the time. If you have 15 minutes somewhere to say, God, I just want to lift up KLTTC to you right now. I want you to have your way there. So if you are interested in being part of that team and also our prayer covering team for Mission Botswana, God is doing amazing things. I don't have time to talk about everything right now. I would love to, but if you want to know what God is doing, come see me, because even this week we've had some amazing things occur with the church that we're starting in Kanye, with the ministry that Pastor Kempo is going to be doing over there, Apostle Kempo. I'm not sure which one to call out. There are a lot of giftings that are functioning in him right now, and people that he's raising up in Botswana to come alongside, that God is raising up in Botswana to come alongside and do many things. So a prayer covering team for Mission Botswana. And what we will do for both of these things, for KLTTC and for Mission Botswana, is every week we will have prayer points that we are asking you to cover, to agree with us on. And we will send those out to you. So we're asking for some contact information. And this doesn't mean that you're going to have to come up to the church, you know, four times a week and pray for 2 hours. It just means that you will take those prayer points and prayerfully lift them to the Lord sometime during the week. So I encourage you, if you're interested, to do that in the back. And I appreciate those of you who continue to give. There are needs that continue over there that we are sending the money for. We have the young men that are still being trained. I don't know what God has in store, but I would not be surprised if God makes a way for these young men that we've been sowing into for well over a year now to come over here for some training. Because God said he's going to do that. He's bringing young men and women from Africa here for training. Y'all are awfully quiet. Is anybody see that possibility? I'm not saying it's going to happen. I just say it's a possibility. Because we've been sowing into these young men's lives. And these were young men who felt they had very little to live for. And suddenly, because of the love of some believers over here and someone who's willing over there, they have purpose. They have destiny. They have hope. They have light in their lives now, to the extent that their parents are saying, what are y'all doing with my kids? They're respectful at home now. They do their chores. They don't complain. So we are right now making a difference around the world. And I'm excited about it. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited about it. God is doing amazing things. Amazing, amazing things. He spoke something last night in our prayer time, and so I'm going to be obedient. A week ago, he said that House of the Lord is on a timeline of things that God is raising up. We've talked about the things God is stewarding. We've talked about mothers and fathers. We've talked about KLTTC, Mission Botswana, raising up ministries, many things that God is doing. And he said there is a timeline that is set for raising things up, that at a certain point it will be time to start going. But he said certain benchmarks have to be met first. Now, last night he said that timeline is already settled in heaven. It's already determined what, who, where, how God wants to raise up leadership, ministries, things that we are stewarding. But he said that we need to decree that it is loosed in the earth. He said he is hovering over House of the Lord. I'll see if I can share it like I saw it. He's hovering over House of the Lord just as he hovered over the face of the deep in the beginning. And when it was time, he said, let there be light. And when it was time, he said, let there be land. Let there be a division in the firmament. He spoke all of these things out. But then he created man. And then he said, let them have dominion in the earth. So he said, I'm hovering now. The Holy Spirit is ready to accomplish these things, but I'm waiting for you to decree it. Because it's not going to be that God says, let there be fivefold ministry raised up. It's going to be that we agree with what he says it's time to raise up and we decree it. So I just want you to join me right now. Father, I thank you that you have a plan for House of the Lord Fellowship Church, and that your plan is happening, is coming about according to your timeline. And Father, we decree that as the timeline for House of the Lord Fellowship Church is already settled in heaven, Father, we decree that it is loosed here in the earth. We decree that your will, plan, and purpose is loosed in House of the Lord Fellowship Church, and that which you desire to raise up, Father, is raised up on your timeline when you say. And Father, as you reveal each facet to us that is time to be raised up, we will decree it into the earth according to your will, Father. We agree with you to accomplish your plan. Amen? Amen. So I talked about the sign-up sheets. Okay, I think we're ready to jump in. Pastor Richard and I are both going to be sharing this morning, and I'm going to tell you right now, I want to warn you that we're probably going to step on some toes. We're going to be meddling a little bit this morning, so get ready if you need to pray for some Holy Spirit anesthetic. I want you to hear from the heart of the Lord this morning, but understand that you may hear some things that will challenge you. Now, if we are all hearing the word of the Lord, we will be challenged, because he doesn't leave us like he found us. Amen? It's his desire for us to grow into what he has for us. But sometimes change is hard. Y'all hear me? It's challenging sometimes. But understanding the heart of our Father, that he loves us enough to not leave us like we are. Amen? So we're going to be talking about a bit of a familiar subject. You may have heard us speak on this before. See if you can listen with fresh ears today, because the Holy Spirit is saying something to this body. And what he is saying is necessary for us to understand and to plumb the depths of what he is saying if we're going to go where he wants us to go. Now, if we just want to be happy like we are, we get the building fairly full, I'm happy, I got a good church to go to, we encourage each other. If I have a need, somebody prays for me, I'm good. If you're happy with that, if you're satisfied with that, you're in the wrong place. Because the vision is to grow. To grow in number, yes. To grow in abundance, yes. But mostly the vision is to grow in our purpose, in what he has put us in the earth for. Does anybody want this morning to grow in your purpose? To see what God wants you to put your hands to and how he wants to use you for that? If that is the desire of your heart, and I pray that it is, you must understand this concept that we are talking about today. You must. And you may think it's not going to sound really deep, but what we are talking about today is seeing him. It's not enough just to see a leader and to follow. And I'm going to explain why as we go. But the body of Christ cannot function effectively until and unless we are all hooked up directly to and receiving direction directly from the head. Directly from the head. And I think it would be fascinating if I were to ask everyone right now to take out a piece of paper and write down, what is God telling you right now? And I want you to wake up every day asking yourself that question. What is God saying to me right now? Because when we share from the pulpit what God has told us, when Brother John shares something that God has told him, Brother Damon prophesies something that God is saying, it shouldn't be new information to you. It shouldn't be a surprise. It should be confirmation. Because if we're all listening to the head, then we're all doing the same thing. Some of you may remember this, and I hesitated to bring it up, but I feel like I should, was a vision, I guess you would say, a prophetic vision that God gave me back in 07 when Pastor Jim was in the hospital and he had had his heart attack. And he was at the time, I think he was in a coma at this time, and they had him on oxygen. And I saw Pastor Jim on his bed on the oxygen. But then I saw the body, and everybody else was on oxygen, and everybody's oxygen hose was connected to Pastor Jim. Do you remember that? Some of you remember that. And God said, everybody needs to be connected to me, not to him. We hook up with the vision, but the life source is not the ministry staff, the pastors of House of the Lord. The life source is God. Our oxygen, the breath of life that we breathe, must come from him. If this is the only spiritual input that you have, there's a better way. There's fresh oxygen that you can have every day to live on instead of gasping until the next time that you come together with your brothers and sisters. There is joy in life that you can find if you will seek him. Spend time seeing him. So I want to talk some about seeing him, and then Pastor Richard is going to come and wrap it up. But when we see him, there are some things we're going to talk about today that happens. We receive strength. We receive our commissioning. What does that mean? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? We receive strategy, identity, authority, change and direction. All of these things come from seeing him. Think about your body and how it doesn't require a whole lot for you to decide to put your hand up in the air. Put your hand up in the air. You didn't have to think a whole lot about it, did you? Why? Because everything in your arm is connected to here. And when here thinks, do this, you just do that. It doesn't require an organization. We don't have to go have a committee meeting about it. It's just, we're going to put our hand up, we put our hand up. That's because what I'm thinking and my arm are connected to the same thing. Do you get the picture? When we're all connected to the head, we're not surprised when the body starts walking. The hands aren't going, oh, what's happening? What am I supposed to? You immediately work. Everything works within you to help balance and keep you doing what you're doing. Everything working together fully for the whole. And then there's a purpose. It's not just so that you can walk. You're generally going somewhere for a purpose. Maybe you're exercising. Maybe you're going to the refrigerator for some leftovers. Maybe you are going to see a neighbor. The body functions and does all of these amazing things, not just so it can look really cool, but so it can accomplish things. It can do business. It can sell real estate. It can go into the ministry. So many different things that our bodies do. And I know that sounds like an oversimplification, but when you make the jump from this body to this body, remember Jesus said, a body you've prepared for me for what? To do your will. To do your will. What did he say his food was? To do the will of the Father. We were created to do. Now, the things that we do are not what gain us favor with God. That's not what gets us in his presence. That's not what gets us a pat on the back. It's not about the doing. The doing is what we do because we have his favor, because we have his love. So learning to get the body to function together and learning who, understanding that we must see the head and we must be connected to the head in order for this body to do what it's supposed to collectively. So we look at Psalms chapter 16 and verse 8. The psalmist said, I have set the Lord always before me, always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. How many of you have heard, in many places I'm hearing it, many different voices saying, the Lord is shaking things right now. He's shaking things. But we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. What is that? Seeking first his kingdom? seeing him, we will not be shaken. It says, because I have put him, because he is at my right hand, that is the place that you lean on. That is the place you grab hold of. That is where your strength is. Your right hand man, that's the one you rely on, depend on. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. That is the only way to not be shaken, not to look at the people around you, but to look to him. So when we set the Lord before us, we find strength. And then when we look at Isaiah in chapter 6 and verse 1, many of you know this is where Isaiah had a vision. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train or the glory of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, two his feet, and two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." This was an amazing vision that Isaiah had. And this was before, of course, salvation. So imagine how unworthy he felt in the very presence of God. And it came out of his mouth. He couldn't hold it back. He said, "I am undone. I am unclean. I can't stay in the presence." But God made provision, and he sent a seraphim with a coal from the altar. I don't really understand that, but whatever it was a special way to cleanse him so that he could stay in the presence of God and not be done away with. Continue to have that feeling that he was so unworthy. But when he saw him and when he received that work of redemption that made God able to speak to him, he heard God's heart. And God said, "Who will go for us?" And when he heard God's heart, when he saw God high and lifted up, he wanted nothing more than to fill what God wanted. He said, "I am right here, God. I will go for you." So he saw the Lord. He received the work of redemption. He heard his heart, and he said, "Yes." And what happened then? God said, "All right, here's the game plan. I want you to go to these people and tell them this." That's when he received his commissioning. It was not coming up in a prayer line. It was not asking for a counseling session. Sometimes we need more information, but it was directly from the heart of God. Some of you are wondering, what's my place? What's my part? What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? I don't know. Am I called to ministry? I don't know. Guess what? God knows. And he is right there waiting to show you and to tell you directly. You don't have to hear it from Sister Gail. You don't have to hear it from Brother Damon. You can hear it straight from the heart of God if you will seek him. Because what did he say? "If you seek me, you'll find me. I will show myself to you. I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know." How many of you want to know what you don't know? Always, that's helpful. "Something I don't know is happening right now, God, because times are strange." Directly from him is where we can receive that. So looking at Jehoshaphat, we've talked a lot about this story lately, this thing that happened, the place where he was. He was in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12 is where he's praying to God because they have all of these armies that have come against him. There was no way they were outnumbered. There was no way that they could fight against this army and win. They knew. They had no, "We have no might against this army." But he said, "Oh Lord, our God, will you not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us." How many of you have felt powerless with 2020? "There's not a thing that I can do about this. To make it okay to go to the grocery store and buy toilet paper." There was no way for a while there, right? "There's no way I can convince my boss that it's really going to be okay if I keep working here. There are things that I can't do, that I can't change about this." But he said, "We don't know what to do, But our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. And when he released that from his heart, the Spirit of the Lord moved on a prophet who was in their midst. You know, when we have ministers that come into this body that flow in the prophetic, I yield myself to that. God, if there's something you need to show me, I'm listening. Because God will move on those around you to share things with you when you're seeking him, yielding yourself to him. And when he did that and Jehaziel spoke, he gave them strategy. Some of you need strategy. I know that if we could do this, and then if we could get that in order and then make this happen, it would work, but I don't even know which one to do first. Some of us need strategy. When we see him, he releases strategy. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out against him, and you're not going to need to fight this one. I want you to stand there and see my salvation. Or maybe he says, this time I want you to go out there, Moses, and raise up your rod. Or maybe he says, this time, David, I want you to pursue, overtake, and recover all. Get out there and show them who's boss. Strategy, which one is it? Do I go after him, or do I just stand here and praise God, or do I lift something up? Do I put my foot in the water? It was different every time. I'm not sure God ever did anything the same twice. Lay hands on somebody today, tomorrow we're spitting in the mud and putting it on their eyes. I don't know. What's the strategy? Some of us need strategy. You find strategy when you see him. Looking in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, we're talking about Peter. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said, "But what about you? Who do you say I am? What have you seen? What have you heard from God?" And Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." There's only one way he could really know that, is that he heard that from God. That he heard God speak to him, that was the truth. And Jesus replied, "You're blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, for this wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood." You didn't very calculatingly research this out and look at all the facts, and this prophecy matches and this, but I haven't seen this one. He didn't weigh the facts. You heard this directly from God. And he said, "Because of that, you are Peter," which we know, as they say, the small rock. And on this larger rock, what is that rock? Revelation directly from God. Upon being hearing people of God, upon that revelation, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not overcome it. How many of you... You know, I was thinking about it. I have this picture when we hear the gates of hell will not prevail. You see these gates trying to attack the church. Because that's not what gates do. Gates keep you out. In other words, we're going to storm hell. And hell will not prevail against us. Because we're taking back the things that God has promised. But he said also, "And I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." There were keys revealed to him, given to him, handed over to him, because he received a revelation from God. Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't anybody. He wasn't a learned man. He wasn't a scholar. He wasn't someone that necessarily we would esteem if we saw him in the marketplace. He was just a guy who said yes and who listened. And because he listened, he received revelation of who he was, his identity. He understood what God said to him. And then he received authority. Authority in the earth. He received the keys to do what he needed to do because he received revelation directly from God, looking to God. I'm talking about Moses in Exodus chapter 34. Verse 29, when Moses, he had gone up into the mountain to commune with God. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses and that his face was radiant, they were afraid to come near him. Something happened when he spent time seeing God. Something changed on the outside, not just on the inside. Something changed on the outside. You know, the psalmist said, praise is comely to the upright. Praise looks good on you. Praise changes your countenance. Moses spent time with God and was changed on the outside to the extent that people were a little afraid to come around him. You know what? When you go into your places, into your schools, into your place of business, your workplace, your family, your neighbors, they should see something different about you. Not that you're better or elevated or smarter, but just that you've been with God. I can tell by looking at you. You've been with God. We are changed, not just on the inside, but on the outside. When we have been with him and other people take notice of it and give deference to it. They gave Moses a wide berth because they weren't sure what he was going to be able to do. He's glowing. What else? There's going to be, you know, lightning coming out of his fingertips. I don't know, but he looks different. Now he told them, look, it's just me. I'm not going to hurt anybody. They talked about it, but he had to put a veil over his face. Because it just would startle the people and make them uneasy. You know, when we get around the work of the enemy and the forces of darkness, we should make them uneasy. But the only way that we can make them uneasy is having spent time seeing him. Seeing him. That's what we have to do. Daniel 11:32 says, the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do exploits. The people who know their God, when you look at that word know, it's the Hebrew word yada. It means to ascertain, to understand by seeing, by observation, by recognition. Because I've been with him, I've seen him, I've watched him, I am able to do what he wants me to do. Because I've seen him, I am able. We started out talking about doing. God has called us to do good works, do mighty things in the earth. But how do we do those things? Where do we find the strength, the strategy, the wisdom, the whatever it is that we need? It is in seeing him. Seeing him. Now, this is the most important part that I'm going to talk to you about, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Richard. In Numbers chapter 9, it gets a little humorous, but I'm going to read this to you because I want you to follow, pay attention. Starting Numbers chapter 9, starting in verse 15, we're going to go through verse 23. It says, and on the day, this is when they're in the wilderness and God has shown them how to build the tabernacle and they set it all up. And there was the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, and that's where the presence of God dwelled, the temple, right, which is what we are today. So on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud of God's presence covered the tabernacle, or the tent of testimony, and at evening it was over the tabernacle, having the appearance of a pillar of fire until the morning. So it was constantly. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. This is the presence of God. And whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tent, after that, the Israelites journeyed. And in the place where the cloud rested, there the Israelites encamped. And at the Lord's command, the Israelites journeyed. And at his command, they encamped. And as long as the cloud rested on the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle many days, the Israelites kept the Lord's charge and did not set out. And sometimes the cloud was only a few days upon the tabernacle, but according to the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. And at his command, they journeyed. And sometimes the cloud remained over the tabernacle from evening only until morning. But when the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. And whether it was taken up by day or night, they journeyed. And whether it was 2 days or a month or longer time that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, dwelling on it, the Israelites remained encamped. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. And at the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. And at his command, they journeyed. And they kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord through Moses. Do you get the picture? I love the way they just, it's like over and over again. The thing is, they saw the cloud. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw God. And when the cloud said, it's time to move, what did they do? They moved. Because you know what? If you didn't, you got left behind. And it's not like you got left behind in your little neighborhood with just a few friends around you. Everything left was you and the wild animals if you stayed. There was nothing, because the provision and the food and the wherewithal to conduct their daily lives was all within the camp. And when the camp left, you had nothing if you didn't go with the camp. And I'm sure it was very inconvenient. I'm sure there were days when they just barely got their tent set up. They got the rug down. They got the dishes right where they wanted them. They got, okay, we're going to sleep over here. You kids are going to sleep over there. We got it all settled. Are you serious? The cloud is moving again. We got to pack it all up. Pack everything up. Pack the tabernacle up. Pack the curtains. Pack the rods. Pack the altar. Pack the incense. You get the bread. You get the wine. You know, everything. Pack it up and move. And then when he stopped, I don't like this place, God. This place is scary. I don't care for this place. Where am I going to put my tent today? I was going to put it right there. Somebody already put their tent there. Where am I going to put my tent? It was not convenient. It was not an adventure many times. It was challenging. Because in the midst of all of this, they're having to keep animals out and offer sacrifices and continue the worship. And now we got to finish up the sacrifices and then pack up and then move on. But the point was that they watched the cloud. And when the cloud moved, they didn't wait for Moses to say, okay, everybody, I saw the cloud move. Let's get up and move on. They were watching. They were listening. They saw the cloud. They kept an eye on it. They didn't have to be told every time, okay, it's time to move. Because they were watching and they saw God. And my challenge to you today is that it's a moving time right now. We've had camped out. That started in March. Okay? God said, I want you to stop everything, stop what you're doing, stop running around, and go into that secret place and seek me and pursue me and follow after me and stay with me and listen to me and see me. And we did. We shut down a lot of things just to see what God was saying, just to listen. We camped out right there. But now, the cloud is moving. Some of you have seen it. Where's it going? It's going into places that God wants us to steward. We may actually physically be leaving this building in a few months. But I know that we're taking the message of the gospel of the kingdom around the world. We're starting in Botswana, but God is opening other doors too. And we're raising up mothers and fathers so that we can bring in sons and daughters to train them. And we're learning to do all of these things by the flow of the river, not by committee, not by outline, not by flow chart. But when God says, I want you to do this, in his presence, we are empowered to go and do that. Wherever he wants to take us, that's where we want to go. But I'm telling you that the cloud is moving. And I am imploring you today to press in, to hear His voice so that you too can see the cloud and the direction that it is taking us, so that we can follow Him as one, together accomplishing mighty things in the kingdom. Amen.
I promise I'll be brief, so listen quick. I'm going to pick up right in the middle of James chapter 1, verse 22. You know, when we see God, or one of the biggest ways that we see God is we see Him through His Word. We see the Word, and that's how we are able to follow, by being obedient to the Word and doing what the Word says. That's where we get our instruction. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the Word, obey the message." This is from the Amplified. "And not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth." Let me read that again. "But be doers of the Word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth." Do you know that you can reason yourself right out of a blessing? You can reason yourself right into deception. You see the truth and you say, "Oh, but you know, I know it says we're not supposed to forsake the fellowship of the brethren, you know, the assembling of ourselves, but you know, it's cold outside and you know, it's been raining and there's COVID running around on the streets. And, you know, I think I'm just going to stay home today. I think I'm just going to stay home. I can watch it on live stream." And then in the house of God, there's a move. There's a presence. There is a manifestation of His glory. And you missed it. It was raining outside. It was cold. There is COVID running around. It's not that you lied to yourself, but you deceived yourself by the reasoning of your mind. You can reason yourself right out of God's blessings. You can justify your actions or lack of actions. Remember what James said? "Be ye doers of the Word." Or lack of actions based on your past. Well, that's not the way we used to do it. I don't really, you know, I have a hard time getting into it because we never done it this way. Well, you can reason yourself right out of a blessing. Or based on what everybody else is doing. Well, you know, nobody's doing that anymore. Everybody's doing this thing, you know. Everybody's got fog machines and lights, and you know, the loud buzzing guitars and the little skinny jeans and I promise I will not wear skinny jeans. I'm not built that way, but you can reason yourself, or you know, based on. We don't have no smoke machines in here. We don't have any colored laser lights that are so cool and they run around and shine through the fog. No, because we're not like everybody else. We haven't been called to the laser light and smoke ministry. We've been called to the Word of God. And that's what we do. Okay? You can reason yourself on your checkbook. That's a big one. You reason yourself out of a blessing because of your checkbook. Well, I just don't have it this time. It's just not there. Or based on another book, Facebook. You can reason yourself based on reason yourself out of a blessing, or other social media, or the world system. On what you are seeing with your physical eyes. We're talking about seeing God. You can see things with your physical eyes and say, "Oh, well, that's the way it is. Okay, well." But if it turns you from the truth of the Word,
you've reasoned yourself right out of a blessing. Or if you base it on what you're seeing with your physical eyes and the images of the way things used to be, or what your mama told you, or what your friends told you, these are all kinds of ways to reason yourself out of being obedient to God's word. There's lots and lots of, you know, y'all, how many of y'all remember Joel Tassiello, his ministry? No excuses. No excuses. James didn't leave room for excuses here. Continuing on, verse 23 of James 1, it says, "For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror, for he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like." Have you ever done that? I do it a lot. I go and I look in the mirror and I say, "Ugh, you know, I got this little thing right here and this thing over here and there's a spot up here and all that." You know, and I say, So I'll turn away from the mirror and I forget about those things. They don't bother me right now. Y'all got to look at it, but I don't have to look at it. But I put that away. I can forget about that. Well, if that's like doing, if there was something that I could do, you know, about my face, I probably would. But forgetting what I look like is like not doing what the word says. It's like looking at a mirror carefully, looking at the details of your face, and then when you turn away from the mirror, you forget, and it doesn't mean anything any longer. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, which is the word of God, and is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, studying, looking, finding nuggets, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. He, listen to this, he shall be blessed. And that blessed means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, and happy. An active doer who obeys. Now I'm going to give you a for instance, but it is a real thing. It's not hypothetical, and it's just one thing. It's not everything. But I want you to pay attention very closely, and I'm talking to everyone in this room, and I'm talking to everyone watching by live stream. I'm pointing my finger at you. I'm talking to you. If you've been in the church for over a year and you're not giving or tithing, Michelle said that we was going to step on toes. Here we go. I'm stomping real hard. If you're not giving or tithing, you need a course correction. What kind of reason are you using to deny yourself the blessing that God has for your life? We just read that if you're an active doer, if you are actively obedient, he shall be blessed. You know, there's always the contrary or the opposite of that. If you are obedient and you shall be blessed, then if you're not obedient, you're not going to be blessed. You're going to have to fight things out on your own. Now, I'm not talking to anyone in particular because I don't know what anybody in here does. I don't know, and I'm not going to know. Pastor Jim didn't know. He didn't want to know. And while I'm not talking to anybody in particular because I don't know, I am talking to some people who very particularly, and you know who you are. I am talking to you if you're not being obedient and faithful in the area of giving. Help your toes. I am not going to make a threat and say that if you're not giving and tithing, you will not be blessed or bad things can happen to you. I'm not saying that. But the Word says that. The Word just said it. We just read it. The Word of God has already said that. We just read it here in James 1. But an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed. Supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, and happy in his doing, life of obedience. If you are obedient, you will be blessed. If you're not obedient, I wouldn't be waiting up for those blessings. You know, Pastor always told us that we could, you know, expect the blessings. When we got a promise, we find it in the Word. We got a witness in our spirit. Yes, I'm going to get a new car. God said that he would provide me a new car. What do we do? We go out, we move the old car that don't run anymore. We move that out of the driveway so that we can make new room. We go buy a new soap bucket and some sponges, getting ready to wash that puppy. And we're excited about getting a new car. We prepare for it. And we look for it. Well, if you don't have that promise, if you're not obedient to what the Lord has already told you to do, you may be looking for a while. I'm just saying. And I'm telling you this for your sake. Now, say, he's talking about money. You know, the church must be hurting. They need more money. But No. God can get money. You know that I've got some bad news for you. You are not the source of our finances, our resources. I'm sorry, you're not. God, this is God's house. God takes care of his house. He is our provider. God can get money to the church any way he chooses. And if you choose not to, he will use someone else. He will, and Pastor, you know, again, Pastor Jim used to say, you know, he will make everybody in Austin rich to get it to us. If that's what it takes. He can have, as Pastor would say, a dog dig it up from somebody's backyard and carry it in an old dirty trash sack. He can get it to us. He knows how, and he will, because he said he promised that he would. But then you lose your blessing. We lose our blessing if we are not obedient in that area. Steve has said this so many times. It's the obedience to the Word. It's the obedience that opens the doors of blessing. But God will use people outside this body. We have gotten stuff in the mail from, I don't know who they were. Sometimes it's not, don't even have a name on it. It's just somebody makes a deposit or on the online account, or who knows? You know, I don't know where it comes from. And they are the ones that will be receiving the blessing because they are obedient. But he wants to bless and increase you. He wants you to be obedient so that you can receive his blessings. You've all heard, the willing and the obedient will eat the good of the land. When we see God clearly, we see his Word. His Word tells us how we are to live. And it's not just in giving. I said this was just an instance. This was in one area. It could be that God wants you to start ministering. Go see somebody. Go call somebody. Send somebody a note. well, you know, they just, I should send them a note, but you know, I don't have any cards here, and I really don't know what to say. Maybe somebody else will do it. If God says to go send somebody a note, if you don't do it, that's disobedience. I'm talking as plain as I can talk. If God says, don't go over there, that person is poison for you, and you go over there and you wind up getting in trouble, how can you run back to God? You can, because he is full of grace and mercy, and he will take you back, and you can start over again. But when we see God clearly, when we turn our eyes on him, we see him through his word. He tells us how to live, and it's, again, not just in giving, it's just one example. But in every arena and every area of our life, we must see God. Now, and I think Michelle may have said something about this a while ago, if you're still looking at Pastor Jim and the way he did things, you're looking at the wrong thing. Okay? If you're looking at me, you're looking at the wrong thing. If you're looking at Pastor Michelle, you're looking at the wrong thing. Sister Lou or all the ministers, if your eyes are on them, you're looking at the wrong thing. It's got to be God. It's got to be his will, his way. I have to look to God, just like you do. We all have to see God. When we see and look at God and then be obedient to do what he tells us to do, then we can live in that blessings of prosperity, of peace, of joy, of having all things from the Father, because he gives good gifts, and all good gifts come down from him when we are obedient to his word. Amen. Everybody okay? You know what you're supposed to do? It got a little less, but we trust that God is speaking to your heart. He's showing you things. If you'll crack open that book, he'll show you a lot more. We have been taught very well. We know, and it's evident by the people that were working yesterday during the taping sessions for the Kingdom Life Training and Transformation Center. As the ministers were talking and being recorded, the support guys, the teams who are running the camera and doing the time cards and all that, they got blessed. They got blessed because we have some of the best teachers in the world. And when they teach, there's anointing there. There was inspiration. There was good things. And that's what we're called to. All of us are called to, and all of us can do that because we have been taught. And we want all of us to do that, to participate. There's plenty of room, plenty of to do. So I encourage you, that is a blessing. What we are doing with that, we are taking the message of the gospel of the kingdom to the world. We're taking it to the world. We're, without even leaving this building, we are sending the message of the gospel of the kingdom to the world. That is huge, people, because that is the Great Commission. That is our obedience to what Jesus said. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what we're doing. We not physically going, but we are going into every country, every nation, with what, one click or two clicks of a button. Boom. Once that video is uploaded, it's everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world it can be accessed. It can change lives. And we've got people in other countries even now, and we have had since even when Pastor was still with us. We would get messages through the internet from people in the Philippines. Could you come down here? We need this kind of teaching. Pastor wasn't able to come, but they would call. They would send me emails. Can you come? We want to hear more. We want to hear more. Some of the guys in Botswana, we read everything that was on on KLTTC website. Can you send more? Is there more? Is there more? Yes, there is more. And we are sending it to them. The world is hungry for it. And we're going to be obedient and send it around the world. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about you and where we're going. Sister Gail gave a word in tongues interpretation last night in our prayer meeting, which is a whole nother story. Some of y'all are supposed to be in the Tuesday and Saturday night prayer meeting. Be obedient. I'll just say that. But Sister Gail gave the word that don't be looking for things that we used to do or the way that we used to do them. It's a whole new ball game. It's everything. It's a new season. There's new ways. It's like nothing is going to be the same. Nothing is going to be the same. And when you think about it, up until this point, we've laid the foundations. You can't build a house with foundation material. You've got to use different material. You don't put two-by-fours in your slab, but you got to put two-by-fours, and you don't use concrete in your walls. I guess you could, but that would be kind of weird. But you use different materials. You assemble them together different ways. Everything is different from the foundation to the house. And everything is different from what we used to do, what brought us up to this point, to where we're going next. It's different. And it's going to be new. It's going to be fresh. It's going to be God. And after the first time, it'll probably change. After the next time, it'll probably change. Because as Michelle brought out in all the scriptures about seeing God, for one, it was strength. For another, it was revelation of who I am. When Jesus said to Peter, this is what you are. You received this by revelation knowledge. You're the rock. You have seen according to what God has said. From the Spirit. It's always going to be different. It's always going to be different when we follow God. But we receive our commissioning. We receive our understanding. We receive strength, our equipping, when we see God. He is our focal point. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this day. We've experienced your presence, Father God, and we thank you for your anointing. We thank you that you have done great and mighty things in our midst today just because your word has been shared, Father. We thank you that great things are in store for us when we are obedient to do and to be what you have called us to be and to do what you have called us to do. Thank you, Father, for everyone in this room. I thank you for every heart, for every ear that heard, for every heart that listened and heard, and for every eye, not the physical eyes, but the eyes of your spirit, every eye that has been opened, that it sees, this is what I've got to do. This is what I need to do. This is where I need to be. I thank you, Father, that word goes and it penetrates the heart and it causes change in all of our lives, Father, that we are growing mightily in you, and we are doing great things for the kingdom of God, and that you are supplying everything that we have need of. I thank you, Father. I bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Father, let your Holy Spirit hover over everyone in this room and lead and guide. Reveal yourself, Father God, to your people. Reveal your glory. Reveal your strength. Reveal your love. Reveal your power. And I thank you, Father God, that we begin to see in our lives miracles, signs, and wonders on a daily basis. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And I thank you, Father, that they are manifested in each life that is here this morning. I lift them up before you, Father God. I cover them. And I thank you that you are drawing us all closer to you so that we may see you, we may fellowship with you, we may be like you, that we do your will. And when your cloud moves, Father God, we pack up and we're right with you. And when you stop, we set up camp. But Father God, I thank you that you are moving even now. And yes, we will move with you. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have the family here today. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. The hostesses have refreshments. So are they in the break room? They're in the break room. Now, sit back down. Oh, you're going to serve. Okay. I thought she was already headed out there. I said, I hadn't even dismissed yet, but she's going to serve. Okay, you can go. You can go. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Brother Jeff. Bless you, Lord. Good to have y'all here this morning. I almost didn't recognize you when you walked in, and I said, is that T.D. Jakes? No, it's not T.D. Jakes. No. Yeah, there you go. It's good to see you. Good to see you. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I call you blessed. I say that the Lord surround you with his favor, with his glory, and everything that you are is a testimony of God's greatness and God's goodness in the earth. He has surrounded you with his mercy and his love. And you are taught of the Lord, great is your peace, because you are the sons of the Most High God. And you are the sweet aroma of his presence in every place. And everywhere you go, you are the light of the world, and the darkness is dispelled. And yes, you do look different from the world. You stand out. You are a place of refuge. You are a place of hope, of peace, and of joy, because you carry the Spirit of God with you. And everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because you are an obedient servant of the Most High God. You are children. You are sons involved in the family business, and you do his business with a grateful heart. You are blessed. You're loved. Go with God. We'll see prayer meeting people on Tuesday night. You're all invited. Come on. Don't forget the refreshments in the foyer.